We celebrate today the feast of the great martyr, St. Lawrence. And there are very few martyrs in the church who are as famous as that of our saint today. And there are very few martyrs that the church praises as highly as him, or are as famous as he was. We don't know exactly where he was born, but there's evidence that he came from Spain, and he was so virtuous as a young man that he became the friend of St. Xistus, who was the Archdeacon of Rome at the time, and who taught him in the study of the scriptures, and he formed him in the way of perfection. Saint Xistus himself would eventually be elected pope, and he is in fact mentioned in the canon of the Mass as well. And he ordained Saint Lawrence a deacon, and he made him one of the seven deacons that served the Church of Rome. So the fathers of the church call him the Pope's Archdeacon. This was a position of great power in the church. In a sense, he was like the personal assistant of the Pope. He was also the treasurer of the Catholic Church. He was in charge of handling all the money of the church and distributing the alms to the poor. But he had no attachment to any of the money that he was in charge of, as we'll see in this story. Now, in the year 257, the Emperor Valerian began yet another persecution against the church. He thought that he would be able to destroy the Catholic Church because he didn't know that it was a divine institution, and he passed a law that all the bishops, priests, and deacons should be put to death immediately because he thought that killing off the clergy would be the end of the church. And so St. Xistus II was arrested the following year, and he was, as he was being led to execution, St. Lawrence was following him and weeping and complaining that he was not going to die as a martyr as well. This is how the saints think about things. And his words to his great mentor, to the sainted pope, are very beautiful and very famous. He said, "My father, where are you going without your son? Oh, holy priest, where are you going without your deacon? You would never offer sacrifice without me as your minister. How have I displeased you? Have I ever failed in my duty?" This is a very beautiful example of St. Lawrence's devotion to duty and to the Pope, and especially to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If you notice, St. Lawrence was practically the second most powerful person in Rome in the church. And as he is seeing the Pope dragged off to his death and he is crying out in sorrow, one of his main questions is, have I not been a good enough altar boy, basically? Of course, as a deacon, his role was a bit more advanced than altar boys in general. But nevertheless, the idea is the same, that this is something that he considered his most important and most treasured duty in his life. And all altar boys should see their service at the altar in a similar way, that that is the most valuable thing they can ever do in their life and the most pleasing to God and the most helpful for their eternal salvation, to serve at the foot of the altar and assist in the celebration of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And all parents should raise their sons to serve Mass, or have their sons learn to serve Mass, and so they can receive those powerful graces that altar boys receive from serving. In any case, St. Lawrence was filled with a certain holy envy of this pope, seeing him die as a martyr while he himself was still stuck here on earth. And St. Lawrence was filled with a desire to die for Christ. So his fellow saint, St. Xistus, felt sorry for St. Lawrence in his saintly misery. And he tried to console him. And he said, "I am not leaving you, my son, but there is a greater trial and a greater victory that is waiting for you because you are young and strong. But I am an old man, so I will be given a quick and easy death, but you will have a death that will be much harder." And he told St. Lawrence that he would join him in heaven in 3 days. And then he told St. Lawrence to distribute the treasures of the church among the poor as soon as possible, because he knew that if St. Lawrence were arrested, that the pagans would seize all the money and the valuables of the church and put it all to evil use. Well, St. Lawrence was greatly consoled at hearing that he only had another 3 days here on earth before he got to go to heaven too. And he carried out the last instructions of the Pope. He got all the money of the church together, and he went out to find all the widows and orphans that the church was taking care of at the time, and he distributed all the money to all of them. And he even took the sacred vessels and sold them and distributed that money as well, because he knew that they would otherwise fall into the hands of the pagans. And at that time, the church in Rome was very, very rich. In addition to supporting, of course, the clergy, it also paid for the support of many widows and virgins, like nuns in a sense, and 1,500 poor people in addition to all of that. And St. Lawrence was in charge of all of this distribution of its wealth, and he even would send money to distant countries for the relief of the deserving poor. Interestingly, we even have some contemporary accounts of the great wealth of the church at this time. For example, Tertullian talks about the precious vessels and chalices and ciboria that the church had. And Eusebius was a church historian. He tells us that the great riches of the sacred vessels of the church made them the target of the pagans who wanted to steal them. And Saint Optatus tells us that in the persecution of Diocletian, the church had many ornaments of gold and silver. And Prudentius says that there were many chalices of gold and silver that were beautifully wrought and inlaid with jewels. Now, the prefect of Rome knew about all this treasure, and he wanted all of it, because he worshipped gold and silver almost as much as he worshipped the pagan gods. So he arrested St. Lawrence, who was in charge of all this stuff. And Prudentius tells us what happened in this historic conversation. The pagan prefect, who was sort of like the mayor of Rome in a way, he said to St. Lawrence, "You Christians complain that we treat you all with so much cruelty, but I didn't bring you here to torture you. I just want to know about what you have." He said, "I know that when your priests celebrate Mass, they drink the sacred blood of your God in cups of silver, and that when you chant your prayers at night, that you have candles set in gold candlesticks. So just bring me all this treasure that you have, because the emperor needs this to pay for his armies. And of course I know that you Christians believe in rendering to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So I am sure that your God doesn't need your money anyway, because he didn't have any money when he was on earth." Talking about our Lord. He said that all he had was his wisdom. "So how about you give us all this money that you don't really need, and you continue to just say whatever words of wisdom you believe you need to say?" Well, obviously this pitch was not very convincing to St. Lawrence, and he responded by saying, "Yes, the church is very rich. In fact, what we have is more valuable than anything that the emperor himself possesses. And I will show you some of our treasure, but give me a bit of time to get it all organized and to make an inventory of what we have." Now, the prefect didn't realize what St. Lawrence was talking about here. He thought St. Lawrence was going to give him a bunch of gold chalices and so on. So he thought that this sounded great. He said to St. Lawrence that he had 3 days to get everything assembled and organized, which is the same amount of time that St. Lawrence was also given to live by the Pope before his death. So this was a fulfillment of the prophecy. During these last 3 days of his life, St. Lawrence went all over Rome, and he gathered up all the poor people that the church was supporting with alms. And he brought all of them together to the same place. And he lined all of them up in front of their church. All the crippled and the blind and lame, and lepers, and orphans, and widows, and consecrated virgins. Then he went to the prefect, and he told him to come and see the great treasures of the church. When the prefect arrived at the church, he saw all these poor, miserable, sick, homeless people instead of great stacks of gold and silver. And he was extremely angry. And he asked, what is going on here? Where is all the money? And St. Lawrence said, what is the problem? The gold that you want is just a piece of metal, and all it does is make people commit terrible crimes. And St. Lawrence explained, the light of heaven is the true gold, which these poor people enjoy. And he explained that the poor people in front of them were offering up their suffering and disease and pain with patience and virtue, and that they were earning tremendous merit in heaven by doing this. He told the prefect that the real diseases are not leprosy or blindness, but they are the diseases of the soul, which are sin and the passions. And in fact, the powerful people of the world are usually the people who are spiritually the most diseased and worthy of contempt. And he said, these poor people are the treasures that I promised you. And I will even add the pearls and precious stones of the holy widows and consecrated virgins who dedicate their lives to prayer. He said, these are the riches of the church. It has no other riches in the sight of God. And he asked the prefect, he said, why don't you ask these people to pray for the prosperity and success of Rome and the empire, and ask them to pray for you? So he was trying to make this pagan understand and embrace a love of spiritual things and repent of his sins. He was trying to convert him and turn his mind away from the love of this world. But the prefect, of course, didn't believe in any of this, and he accused St. Lawrence of mocking him. He said, how dare you insult the power of the Roman Empire? And he said that St. Lawrence must really want to die. And he said, I will fulfill your wish and I will put you to death, but you will not die quickly. He promised that he would make St. Lawrence's death as long and as painful as possible. He said, you will die 1 inch at a time. And he made a gridiron to be ready and hot coals put underneath. But he ordered that the coals be allowed to simmer down for a while so that St. Lawrence would not be put onto coals until they were mostly burned out, so that the temperature would not be so hot that it would kill him right away. By allowing the coals mostly to burn out, he made the temperature hot enough to torment St. Lawrence, but not hot enough to kill him all that quickly. Just imagine the terrible cruelty of such a thing. St. Lawrence was stripped and he was chained to the gridiron. And the heat went through his whole body, and his body roasted until it penetrated all the way through all of his intestines. And he was completely roasted. But the Christians who were there and who saw him on this gridiron could see that he was surrounded with a heavenly light for this entire time that he was being burned. And his body put off a beautiful odor, the odor of sanctity. But only the Christians were able to see this and to smell this odor of sanctity. And St. Augustine speaks very beautifully of this great martyrdom. He says that St. Lawrence didn't even feel the torments of the persecutor because he was so eager to die and go to heaven. St. Ambrose says something even more beautiful than that, which is that he says when the body of St. Lawrence was being burned in the flames, the fire of the love of God burned him so much in his soul that he couldn't even feel the fire that was lit beneath him. And he didn't feel any pain. In fact, his torments were refreshing and even felt good because he knew that they were bringing him to God. Just imagine the great holiness of this great martyr. He was so filled with peace and joy that after a long time he smiled at the judge and he said, let my body be turned over now. This side is cooked enough. And they turned over his body. And after a while, he felt his death approaching. And he said, now I am completely cooked. You can all eat me now. So he was joking about what these pagans were doing. And the prefect responded with something insulting. But St. Lawrence prayed fervently on this terrible flame for the mercy of God to come upon the city of Rome, and he died praying for the conversion of the city of Rome. He prayed that the city that was in charge of the entire world might be converted to the faith and spread the faith throughout all of the provinces of the empire, and that the Catholic Church would fill the entire civilized world, and from there to send missionaries to all the lands of the pagans and savages as well. And sure enough, his prayer would eventually be answered. And he raised his eyes towards heaven, and he died. The Holy Father Prudentius believed that it was the prayer of St. Lawrence in his dying moments that converted the city of Rome and eventually the entire Roman Empire. He says that God began to grant the prayer of St. Lawrence immediately, from the very moment of his death. As soon as St. Lawrence died, there were several Roman senators that were so moved by his holy death that they became Christians right then and there. And they took the body of St. Lawrence, they carried it on their own shoulders, they buried it in a field near the Tiber River on August 10th of the year 258. Prudentius tells us that the death of St. Lawrence, in a sense, was the death of idolatry in Rome. And what he means is that the death of St. Lawrence was the turning point in the history of paganism and Christianity in Rome and in the Roman Empire. He said that idolatry began to diminish noticeably in Rome from that very moment. And after that, even the Senate itself, even the officials of the Roman government, they began to venerate the tombs of the apostles and martyrs. He says that the inhabitants of Rome would come to the church of St. Lawrence and pray there with great devotion. And they had a great love of St. Lawrence. And St. Lawrence worked many miracles at his tomb. This shows how powerful his intercession is with God. St. Augustine says that there was an enormous number of miracles that were worked in Rome at the intercession of St. Lawrence. And we know from the Gelasian Sacramentary that the feast of St. Lawrence, with a vigil and an octave like we have today, has been celebrated at least since the 5th century. Under Constantine, the first Christian emperor, a great church was built over the tomb of St. Lawrence, which is one of the five great basilicas of Rome. And there are seven other famous churches in the city named after him as well. The Basilica of St. Lawrence is one that is also well known to most priests because they are required to say various prayers after Mass, which the Pope would say traditionally in procession to the Basilica of St. Lawrence after he celebrated Mass. And the last of these prayers is a short prayer to St. Lawrence that the Pope would say as he arrived at this Basilica. And this prayer says, "Grant unto us, we beseech thee, O Lord, the grace to quench within ourselves the fire of evil desires, even as thou didst endow blessed Lawrence with strength to triumph over the flames that tortured him." In the life and death of St. Lawrence, we can see how powerful God's grace is, which can make us strong enough to do things that are difficult to human nature. If we had the same resolution and strength of the saints when we practice virtue, we would see that all of our fears and concerns are trivial. If we had a lively faith like what the martyrs had, we would also despise the honors and pleasures of this world, and we would judge the events in our lives not on a natural basis, but according to the light of faith. If we loved God as much as they did, we would embrace his will with joy, and we would want nothing else but to be happy with whatever God wants. So if we are discouraged or impatient in our difficulties in life, and if we complain about our problems, that means that we have a disordered self-love and that we are pursuing our own desires more than the will of God, because suffering is the real test of our love of God. We can tell if we suffer patiently for God whether we really love him or not. If we see that we don't suffer well, then we probably are not ordered towards God's will. And we have to suffer with greater patience and resignation. Let us pray to St. Lawrence to help us follow his example of patience in suffering and even cheerfulness and submission to God's will, because those things are truly the path to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.